God has revealed who He is. God has made Himself known as a God of omnipotent power and a God of omnipotent wisdom. It is our responsibility, it is the responsibility of all men everywhere, but particularly within the church, to believe what God has said about Him and to trust Him in response.
God's power is undeniable. After all, He only had to speak and the universe came into existence out of nothing. But as Pastor Don Green will teach on today's edition of The Truth Pulpit, His power will always be in harmony with His other attributes. Hello, I'm Bill Wright, and we're continuing our series, The Attributes of God. And Don, you'll be talking today about God's ability to do whatever He pleases while also showing us things He can't do. How do you reconcile the two?
Well, my friend, to the extent that that seems like a contradiction to you, understand that it's only an apparent or superficial contradiction. When you study more closely the character of God, you see why it would have to be that way. God is a true God, and therefore He cannot lie. God is faithful, and therefore He cannot break His promises. And as you stay with us today, you're going to find that many of these questions in your mind are going to be cleared up as we open our minds to the clarity of God's Word. I'm glad you're with us today on The Truth Pulpit.
Thank you, Don. And friend, let's get started right now in The Truth Pulpit.
As we're talking about the volitional attributes of God, we're going to talk about two things. And just stay with me as I'm pretty much done with all of the technical stuff insofar as it's been technical already. We're going to talk about the omnipotence of God, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the will of God. In order to tie these things together, God's will and His ability to fulfill it. And you must, beloved, you must have a high view of God in multiple ways. I've said this many times and I'll say it many times again. It is not enough for you as a Christian to, when you're in the midst of trials or when you see things unfolding in the world, it is not enough for you to simply say, well, God is sovereign. That is true that God is sovereign. But where you are going to grow spiritually, where you are going to develop serenity in your soul, where you are going to develop a maturity that allows you to stand like a lighthouse, firm with the waves of a hurricane battering against it, what enables you to stand firm in the midst of that is not just that God is sovereign, but for you to understand that God exercises His sovereignty in perfect harmony with all of His other attributes. And in light of what we've just seen, that means that God's sovereign power, God's sovereign work is a work of, watch this, it is a work of sovereign wisdom. And it is a wise sovereignty that He exercises. And it is a loving sovereignty that He exercises. So that when you say God is sovereign, what that should be shorthand for you to say, that everything that concerns my soul and my life is in the hand of God, who is wise and loving and good. And therefore, nothing that is ultimately bad could ever happen to me. And nothing about God's ultimate purposes could ever go astray. It could never go haywire. That's impossible. It could never be a contradiction of His love. Nothing could ever be a contradiction of His wisdom. Because He knows all things, He is a God who is perfectly wise, and He has the perfect power to do whatever He wishes. And so we step back from that, and we say, knowing something about the revealed character of God from Scripture enables me to live life in a peaceful, calm manner, no matter what happens. And to the extent that your life experience and the motions of your heart are different than that or contrary to that, that's not entirely and consistently your experience, then this is simply that gap is simply the opportunity for your spiritual growth. And that's okay. You know, we all need to grow. And so, but we grow by sinking our roots deeply into the fertile soil of the character of God where we find the nutrients which are necessary for us to grow. If you know God, your soul is stable, period. Whether it is in the extremity of your deathbed or whether it is in the joy of new life, God's power, God's wisdom guarantees it all. And so today we're just going to take a moment to look at the volitional attributes of God. And we'll start with point number one, the omnipotence of God. The omnipotence of God. And here we find the bulwark, the fortress for your soul. God's power is known as His omnipotence. And the question is, what does that mean? What is God's omnipotence? Let me give you a definition from the book that we've been using. God's omnipotence means that He can, by the mere exercise of His will, bring to pass whatsoever He has decided to accomplish, and that, if He so desired, He could do even more than that. I want you to notice something. God is all-powerful. He has the power to do whatever He pleases. And let's look at a couple of scriptures to get this kind of off the ground here. Look at Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32 is where we're going to turn to start with the words of Jeremiah, which I've often turned to over the years as an encouragement to my own heart. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17 says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and by Your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for You." And then over in verse 27, God, in a sense, echoes those words back to Jeremiah. And He says in verse 27, asking the question rhetorically, He says, "Behold, I am Yahweh, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for Me?" The implied answer being, no, there is nothing too difficult for God. He is able to do whatever He pleases. Turn over to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. We're just giving ourselves a smattering of text to anchor our thoughts on this matter. Matthew chapter 26, verse 53. We saw in Jeremiah that God was the God of the creation. He's the God of all flesh. And here in Matthew chapter 26, verse 53, we see that the entire spiritual realm is also at His disposal, His pleasure. Verse 53, Jesus said, "Do you think that I cannot appeal to My Father and He will at once put at My disposal more than 12 legions of angels?" A legion being a troop of about 6,000 men. Jesus said it's easy for God to put 72,000 angels at My disposal if He wishes. That's pretty strong. That's pretty powerful. This just gives us a slight measure of the immense ability of God to do whatever He wishes to do. And you could say this. You could say that the Bible is a 66-book testimony to the omnipotence of God. Think about it. Genesis 1:1, there was nothing in existence, and God, by the mere exercise of His spoken word and His will, says, "Let there be all of these things," and God created the heavens and the earth simply by an exercise of His will. He created everything out of nothing. How much more evidence of His power do we need? You sweep through the whole progress of Revelation, and you go from Genesis to the last book in the Bible, and you, there at the end of Revelation, you find God ending history, wrapping it up by binding the devil forever and ushering in a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So from the beginning in Genesis to the end in Revelation, God is simply exercising His power to do whatever He wishes to do. You have in your hands a 66-book testament to the power of God, raising up nations and casting them down, raising the dead, overthrowing nations, sending Christ, Christ being crucified, and God, without diminishment of His power, raises Him from the dead. Then you remember what He's promised for us, that He'll raise us from the dead. Think about it in terms of your salvation, beloved. Those of you that are truly born again, do you remember what it was like? You remember what you used to be like? That foul-mouthed, angry, lustful person that was wrapped and locked into sin and unable to do anything to save yourself, dead to God, hateful to God, arrogant, and all of the things that go with the old man. And what did God do by an exercise of His power? By His power, He providentially brought the gospel into the realm of your perception and understanding. You heard the good news. You heard the gospel that Jesus Christ was crucified for sinners just like you. That He was risen by the power of God. And that He had the promise and the ability to forgive all of your sins if you would repent and turn to Him and put your faith in Christ. And God did a miraculous work in your heart and you turned to Christ. You were born again and new life flew out of that and grew out of that. The old man passed away. That foul, sinful creature that you used to be was dead. And behold, you had new desires, new things coming out of you. You were a new man. People recognized the difference because you were someone new. So great was the power of God, a hidden work in your heart. God had the power to do that. You're a Christian not by your own efforts, but by the power of God at work through the gospel in your heart. And so, just with those little bits of illustration, beloved, you should see that one of the primary starting points of your thinking, what are there? There's three primary colors, right? Blue, yellow, and red. And from that, all other colors flow. Well, one of the primary colors in your thinking about God is that God is omnipotent and that God has the ability to accomplish whatever He desires. He can do whatever He wishes and no one can stay His hand. And if you start from that perspective, then all of a sudden fear is wiped out for you as a Christian because you realize that you're in God's hand. And also, beloved, it's not just the negative of an absence of fear. There's this positive sense of trust and confidence that comes in. You say, I know the true and living God. And the true and living God is omnipotent, by which it means He is able to do whatever He desires. And He has stated that His desire is to perfect the work that He has begun in me. And what does that mean? It means it comes out well for me in the end. It could be no other way when a wise, sovereign, loving, good God has saved me. It can only come out in a way that is going to magnify the wisdom and goodness and love and power of God. My life will certainly be a testimony to that in the end. That's the way you should think. If you're not thinking like that as a Christian, you are sinning. You need to repent of not thinking about God in proper, lofty ways. Because this is who God is. There's nothing too difficult for Him. And I realize that it's common in our day and age. It's common for teachers to extol doubt as if it were a virtue. And men like to get up and teach and talk about their doubts. And I don't know this or that about God. And I know you feel the same way. And what do you know? And acting like that's okay. That's not okay. God has revealed who He is. God has made Himself known as a God of omnipotent power and a God of omnipotent wisdom. It is our responsibility. It is the responsibility of all men everywhere, but particularly within the church, to believe what God has said about Him and to trust Him in response. God says, I'm omnipotent. God says, I am wise. To which we say, yes, Lord, I believe what You have said, and I rest my hope and confidence in that. That's the only right way to be. Anything else is falling short of the glory of God. And so, hopefully, all of these things are clear. Now, with that said, here's where this is. I'm going to address some things that are going to be obvious and clear and compelling, and yet it may be a little bit different than things that perhaps you've heard taught about the omnipotence of God in the past. The biblical doctrine, oh, this is so important. The biblical doctrine of the omnipotence of God is not an assertion that God can do absolutely everything without exception. That's not what God's omnipotence means. And it's quite easy to show you that from Scripture. But here's what I want you to see. And I'm going to go at this at length because I believe that there's an important pastoral point to make. And I'm more concerned for the pastoral care of the souls in front of me than trying to give a transcript that could easily be translated into a systematic published theology. I want you to understand these things because it will change your sense of confidence in your God. God's omnipotence operates in perfect harmony with the divine essence. In other words, what God has the power to do is what pleases Him. And what pleases Him is always going to be consistent with His holiness, with His righteousness, with His justice, with His grace, with His wisdom. God would never, ever, ever use His power in a way that contradicted His wisdom or His goodness. Never. That is an utter impossibility. That cannot happen. Ever. It never has. It's not happening now. And it would never happen into the future. Because God will not and cannot violate His own perfect essence. And so when we talk about God's omnipotence, you should not think about it in the abstract as simply being an exercise of raw power. God's power is exercised in perfect harmony with all of His other attributes. And this is easily shown. So let me give you a little checklist here with supporting scriptures of things that God cannot do. God is immutable. That means that God cannot change. He cannot change. Go to the last book of the Old Testament where the prophet Malachi and his writings are recorded for us. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. God is immutable. Therefore, He cannot change. And therefore, to speak of God's omnipotence, we need to realize that God cannot change His very divine essence. He would not do that. He cannot do that because it is an impossibility for God to change. We saw that last time. Now, working out other attributes of God and just kind of thinking through things. These things are all so obvious when you think about them. The problem is that we tend to teach God's attributes in isolation from one another. And therefore, we think about them in isolation from one another. And that's why you often fall into spiritual difficulties, questions, confusions, doubts, and despair. It's because you're not thinking about God rightly in all of His attributes. So God is immutable. He cannot change. Secondly, God is eternal, which means He cannot die. God is eternal and therefore He cannot die. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 in your New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 16 says that God alone possesses immortality. What is immortality except that He cannot die? He dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. To Him be honor and eternal dominion. Many years ago, there was a movement known as the God is dead movement. Well, that was foolish from the start. Of course God wasn't dead. He couldn't die. It was that movement was a self-contradiction, and the thing that died was that movement, not God. Now, along with that, God is faithful, which means that God cannot break His promises. Look, turn over to the right, or scroll down on your iPad, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible makes no apologies, makes no hesitancy about suggesting these things that God cannot do. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Turn over to Titus, just another page or two over in your Bible. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Where we see that God is true, and therefore God cannot lie. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Actually, let's just read verses 1 and 2 to get the sentence in. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. The truthfulness of God, meaning that He cannot lie, that being central to the fact that He will keep His promises, that He will do what He has said that He will do. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but My words will not pass away." There's another aspect of it. What Jesus speaks cannot pass away. God is holy. He cannot approve evil or even be tempted to sin. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13, the prophet said, "Your eyes are too pure to approve evil." You can't approve evil because you're pure, because you're holy. You could never look with favor and approval upon sin or wickedness. That can't happen. And in James chapter 1, keeping it in the New Testament there, in like manner with Habakkuk, both of these, chapter 1, verse 13, which is a helpful little mnemonic device. James chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself does not tempt anyone." And so, all of those examples, there were six of them there if you were counting. God is immutable, He cannot change. God is eternal, He cannot die. God is faithful, He cannot break His promises. God is true, He cannot lie. God is holy, He cannot approve of evil. God is holy, He cannot be tempted to sin. Why am I belaboring this point? Why not just talk about the things that God can do? Well, we've established that God can do whatever He pleases. What you have to see is both sides of that statement. God can do whatever. God can do whatever He pleases. And therefore, God's power operates in perfect accord with His essence, with all of His other attributes. He will never violate His holiness, His truth, His goodness, or His divine essence with anything that He does. What does that mean for you as a Christian in the 21st century? It means that you can trust Him no matter what. No matter what's happening personally, no matter what's happening in the world, you can trust Him because God is able to do whatever He wishes to do. He can raise up leaders, He can cast them down. He can raise you up, He can cast you down. And so, in a sense, you know, yes, this means that we trust Him and it gives us confidence. It also humbles us before Him because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. We realize that God could raise us up. He could just as easily humble us and put us on a hospital bed and leave us there indefinitely. But all the while, even when He is doing the things that are most difficult for us to understand, the things that make us feel like a freak show maybe, when life is just so completely beyond our control to be able to do, to realize that God has not abandoned His wisdom, His love, or His goodness for us in the process. He's simply taking us through something with wisdom and with power and with love and knowledge in a way that we don't understand.
God does not exercise power randomly or inconsistently, as earthly authorities might. As Pastor Don Green has taught us today on the Truth Pulpit, God's power, like He Himself, is perfect, in that it's always consistent with His character, goodness, holiness, and faithfulness. Well, on our next broadcast, Don will tie God's omnipotence and will together with the whole concept of sovereignty and what we can take away from it all. So do plan to be with us. Right now, though, Don's back here in studio with some closing words.
You know, friend, we realize that you may not be close enough to our church to be able to join us as you would like to on any given Sunday. So let me invite you to join us on our live stream that you can find at our website, Sundays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And also we have a midweek service on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. We would love to have you join us in that way. A lot of people do. You might as well be one more that join us for those special studies of God's Word and our church services on Sundays and Tuesdays. Here's Bill with some final information to help you find us.
Just visit thetruthpulpit.com, where you can also learn more about podcasts. Once again, that's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time on The Truth Pulpit with Don Green.